Begin the current daf, Masech the Baba Basra, daf Ayin Aleph. Begin on the top line of the Yamud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, and the series of these Mishnayos talking about HaMoicher HaSabayis, when someone sells something that's unspecified what's included in that sale. So the previous Mishnah spoke about when someone sells a field and not specifying what's included. So now our Mishnah continues that theme about so what's included and what's not included in the sale of a field. So continues the Mishnah, Lo Yas HaBayir. Neither is the pit that's in the field going to be included in the sale of the field, even if he uses the extra terminology that we said in the previous Mishnah comes to include other things, when he says, kol masha b'teiche, and including whatever's inside of it, even if he uses that terminology, that's not going to include the pit in the field, v'lo yisagas, not the wine press in the field, v'lo yisashevach, not the dovecot in the field, Bein Charavin, Bein Yeshub, and this applies to whether these things are in disuse or in use. Doesn't make a difference. They're considered distinct items, as if they're a separate field, and they're not going to be included in the sale of the field, even if he says whatever's inside of the field. Now, however, continues the Mishnah, but regarding these things that therefore they're not included in the sale of the field, and the seller gets to hold on to them, but Vitzarch Likich Leiderech Divir Bekiva, Bekiva holds that the seller, however, although he retains the ownership of, let's say, the pit, but he has to acquire a right of way to get to it, because everything else besides the pit is sold with the sale of the field, and that includes a right of way, a path to get there. So although he owns the pit, how's he going to get there? Either fly through the air, or he has to purchase a right of way from the buyer. That's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, which we explained in the previous stuff, because he holds meicher ba'ayin yafa meicher. When someone sells something, he sells in a generous way, including everything besides what he holds on to. They say, no, he doesn't have to purchase a right of way. Someone sells, he sells stingingly and more begrudgingly. And therefore, if he's holding on to the pit, obviously I'm not selling you that everything that I can't get there. I'm holding on to it because I want to use it. And therefore, he doesn't have to purchase a derech to get there. That's automatic in his withholding of the pit. Now, continues the Mishnah, Moedr Bekiva Bekiva agrees, Bizman Sha'amar Loi, if the seller explicitly said to the buyer, Chutz mi'elu, I'm selling you this field except for these things, let's say the dovecot, the wine press, and the pit. Now, in such a case, why did he say that? Well, you don't have to say that you're not selling that. It's automatically not being sold. So those are superfluous words that's coming to include something that he's holding on to, that she'ein etzarech likach leiderech. In that case, when he's saying, I'm not giving you the pit, it's coming to include not just the pit, but even the right of way. Even Rabbi Akiva would agree in that situation that he would not have to buy right of way from the buyer. Now, the same machlekes Rabbi Akiva and the Chum applies in the reverse case. Let's say macharin la'achar. Let's say the owner actually maintains the ownership of the field and he only sells, let's say, the pit or the wine press or the dovecot to somebody else. So then, you have the same machlekes in the reverse. Rabbi Akiva Omer, ein etzarech likach leiderech. The buyer does not have to buy a right of way to get to the pit that he bought, because again, when the seller sells it to him, he sells it in a generous way, including a right of way. Chachamim disagree. They say no, that the buyer does have to buy right of way, because I only sold you the pit. I sell begrudgingly, but I ain't raw meicher, and therefore he has to buy right of way from the seller. Now continues the Mishnah and says, "B'men devam amum." When did we say throughout this perek this concept of loy machar? We said certain things that although they're part of this item that's being sold unspecified, we said they're not included in the sale. So that says the Mishnah, when did we say that? That's only b'meicher, that's only by a sale. Meaning, even, which obviously is understood in the context of the Chacham hold b'ayin ra meicher, but actually this chiddush of the Mishnah is even if you hold like Rabbi Akiva that meicher b'ayin yafa meicher, that even one who sells generously, still, that's only in regards to what he specified in the sale, whatever he spoke about, he's selling everything of that item, and he's not holding to anything from himself in the sale to his friend. So, for example, let's say in the previous cases of the Mishnayos, when someone sells a house or he sells a field, where he's not going to hold on to anything from those items, which is, let's say, a path to get to his pit or to his cistern or to his wine press. Rather, he's selling everything. But even if you hold that you sell in a generous way, but to sell more than what he even said he's selling, regarding that, we don't say that a seller has such a ayin yafa to include in the sale of the field other things that are not even included as part of the field. So on that qualifies the Mishnah, according to whichever pin you go like, those limitations are only when it's a sale. But if it's regard to someone that's gifting it to someone else, I'm gifting you my house or my field, then nisnes kula. Then he's giving the recipient everything, Even all those things that we said in the previous Mishnah is that, oh, loy macher, they're not included in the unspecified sale, they're going to be included. And even those things that are not even in the category of masha b'teicha. In other words, we had said in previous Mishnah is that, oh, okay, even things that are not usually sold, but if you say, and whatever's inside of it, oh, then these other items will be included. But there are items that we said, even when you say komasha b'teicha, are not included in the sale. For example, by the charav hamurkab and the sadan hashikamo, or the bur and the gas and the shevach, which these are items that even if you say, I'm selling you this thing and whatever's inside of it, they're not included. Still, when you're giving a gift, those things are included. And this is obvious from the sugya, as we'll see, by regarding hekdesh, and the same thing applies to giving a gift. Now, the reason for this is because when someone gives a gift, he gives it in a generous way, more than just the way it's done regarding a sale. Meaning, even things that are not even generally part of the field itself, but since they're part, they're permanent there in the field, in regards to a gift, he's saying, I'm giving you this, he's including everything. Now, Rashbam does point out, if there happens to be money in the field or some type of a grain that's detached that does not need the land or any other thing that happens to be there, that the Tana of our Mishnais did not have to say that loy macher, they're not included in the sale, because of course it's not. It has nothing to do with that thing. It just happens to be there at that moment. So on that, says the Rashbam, no, for sure in that situation, even the one who gives a gift is not going to get those things. So the guy happens to have left his wallet in the field and he says, oh, I'm giving you my field, and that includes everything. It's not going to include his wallet. But everything else, that will be included in the sale, in the gifting of the field or the house or whatever these things are. Continues the Mishnah, similar types of cases which are different than what we've been speaking about in these Mishnahs of sales. Like we said, the difference is when you give a gift. So to ha'achin shechalku, brothers divide their inheritance. Zachu besada, if someone gets the rights to a certain field, zachu bekula, he gets the rights to the entirety of the field. Again, even the pit and the wine press and the dovecot, which are in the field, he's going to acquire them. Now, although we said that when someone gets a field, when he buys a field, he doesn't get these things, even if the guy says, komasha b'teicha, again, this is different, like we said regarding the gift, is because since this guy's taking one field and the other brother takes a correlating field, so it's obviously their intention is to totally remove themselves from the other one. But still, Rashbam points out, it still is possible that the one that's in the inner field could have a right of way through the one on the outer field, which is like the way Rav said on the Samachim Med Aleph, where he says, yeah, because I want to dwell in this inner field the way our father had dwelled in it, because that's based on the pasuk of Tachas Abesecha Yibanecha, that the children take the place of the father, but still, regarding everything else, each brother totally removes itself from the other one, and he gets the entirety of those rights. So to another similar halacha, Machzik ben Nichse Ager, if someone takes possession of the properties of a convert who died without any children and he has no relatives because he's a convert, and someone takes possession of it. So hechzik besad, if he takes possession of the field, hechzik bekula, he's taking possession of the entirety, even regarding the carob tree and the sycamore tree that's older. Now, as Rashbam points out, that although that the Gemara told us that these items, let's say charav and sadan, are considered like a totally separate field, and regarding when there's two fields and there's a boundary between the two fields, and someone takes possession of the one of the field with the intention to acquire that field and the other field, the Gemara already told us in Cheskes Abatim of Nun Gimel Mabeis that you only acquire that field you do a chazak on and not the other field. So how is it possible that when you're machzik b'nichse ager, you're in the field, you're acquiring the charav, which is almost like a different field, and we say, but two different fields not. So that Rashbam says, though here that's what the Mishnah is telling us, that you do acquire, because although we're considering the field and the carob tree as like two different fields, but ultimately there's no boundary separating between the two of them. So it's like two fields with no boundary between them, where there the halacha is that then it would acquire when you're machzik one field to the connecting field next to it. So therefore, that's by hamachzik b'nichse ager. If you're acquiring, if you're doing a chazak on the field, you will acquire the charav and the sycamore. So to continues the Mishnah. Again, these are all different than the case of mechira, which we've been saying in these Mishnahs. Hamakdish is a sad, if someone sanctifies to hekdish the field, so hekdish is kula. He was makdish the entirety of the field, including everything inside of it. Because again, when someone's makdish, he gives it ba'ayin yafa, just like someone that gives a gift. Now, Reb Shimon Naima, he disputes the Tanakhama in this last halacha, and he says, Hamakdish is a sadeh. If someone sanctifies his field, loy hikdish, he has not been makdish any of these things which we said regarding a sale, that they're not included in the sale. Because actually, says Reb Shimon, someone that's makdish, his intention is just like someone that's selling, where he's only makdish what he specified, just like we say regarding a sale. Ella, the one exception is Esachar of Hamurkib Vesadin HaShikamar. The grafted carob tree and the older sycamore tree, where although regarding the sale of a field, we said they're not included in the sale of a field. Here, however, regarding hectares, they are included. And the Gemara on Amud Beis explained the reason why, according to Rav Shimon, this is the one exception. Now, the Gemara first explained regarding what we said in the Mishnah, Bamed of Mamurim, that Maishno Mecher, Maishno Matana, what is the difference between a sale, which we said that certain things are going to be included in the unspecified sale and certain things not, and regarding gifting, we said, no, everything is automatically included. Meaning, although that we understand that when someone gives a gift, obviously there's a certain generosity because he's not getting any money for it. He's just gifting it to the person in contrast to a seller. But still, many times, a person only wants to give what he explicitly said. But something that's not included, he's not giving, like all those things in the Mishnah, which we said, loy machu, because they're not part of what the person said. So why buy a gift do we automatically assume and say that everything is included? So, Pirish Yehuda ben Nekusa lefnei Rebbe. So, Yehuda ben Nekusa explained in front of Rebbe. He says, the difference is because Zeh Pirish, the case of someone that gives a gift, he specified that he wants to give everything, and therefore the recipient receives everything. Which the Gemara is going to shortly ask, what is that? What he told me, that he's not specifying everything, and that's the Chiddush that the Mishnah is differentiating. But those are his words. Whereas Vizel Loi Pirish, regarding the seller, however, he didn't specify everything, and therefore, since it's unspecified, those things which are not automatically included are not included. Now, that the Gemara asked, Hai Zeh Pirish, Vizel Loi Pirish? What, you're telling me that the case of the gifting is where he specified everything should be included, and regarding the sale, not? It's not true. Zeloi pirish, vezeloi pirishu. Both cases regarding the selling and the gifting, both were just said unspecified in the Mishnah, and still we differentiated. So that's not answering the question. How do we understand why noisin is different? So Ella rather says the Gemara. What he meant to say is, this one, the one who's giving a gift, since it's normal for someone who's giving a gift to give it in a magnanimous way, in a generosity. If the case we're talking about that the one who's giving a gift is not giving it ba'ayin yafa, then ha'yaloy lefarish, he should have specified and explicitly left over for himself these items, like say the pit and the wine press and the dovecot and all these cases of the Mishnah, which we said are usually left out of a sale. Now, from the fact that he didn't say that he wants to hold on to those things, so that's why he loses, because he should have specified, because we assume someone that's gifting is gifting with generosity. But whereas Vizeb, but regarding the one who's selling, why do you think he's selling? He doesn't want to give it to this person. It's because he's pressed for money and needs the cash. And therefore, that's why we only assume he's selling what he specified. Now, even if it could happen at times where someone who's selling is going to sell in a generous way, but we don't naturally assume that case. And therefore, the buyer has the lower hand because we assume the seller's not selling more than what he's saying. And therefore, loy hayalei lefarish. There's no reason for us that he should have specified. And therefore, the fact that he didn't is not going to be his loss, and therefore it's not included in the sale. Actually, Rashbam brings a different interpretation from Rabbi Chananel, that who's Zeh Ha'ilo Lefarish B'Zeh Lo Ha'ilo Lefarish. He explains it in the other way, which comes out with the same conclusion, is that the buyer should have specified. Why? Why should he be specified that regarding a sale, that including the sale, he wants the pit and the dovecot and all these things, because since he's paying good money, so he's not embarrassed from the seller. Because, of course, I want this, I want that, I have leverage, I have rights. Now, from the fact that he did not push the seller to specify that everything's included, so it's his loss. But regarding the recipient of a gift, he's embarrassed from the one who's giving it. It's nama de chisuvi, he's getting a freebie. And therefore, there's no claim against him that he should have specified and asked for is the bar and the gas and the shevich all included. To the contrary, rather it's incumbent upon the gifter who should have specified. And the fact that he didn't specify, so therefore we assume that that is going to be included, and therefore the recipient of the gift receives everything. But either way, that's how the Gemara explains that if it should have been specified and didn't, then we're going to naturally assume that it's included in the gift, and that's why by the nice matan he gets everything in contrast to the case of a sale. Now, the Gemara brings a story related to this halacha that Ahuda Amalahud was someone who said to the people that havulei leplanya, give to that person beisa de machzig mea gulfi, give him from my properties a house that contains, that the ground could contain in it 100 barrels, meaning in the width and the length of the house you can get 100 barrels, in where you get where it's 10 by 10 barrels squared, 10 in the length and 10 in the width. Now, Ishtakeach, Dava Machzig Meva Esrim, but they found that actually the house that he had actually fit 120 barrels. And he didn't have any other house that fit just 100 barrels. So Amazdutra Mazdutza said, Meya Amarle. He only said that he wants to give this guy a gift of a house that could hold 100 barrels. Meva Esrim Lo Amarle. He didn't say that he wants him to give him a house that could fit 120 barrels. And therefore, actually, he only takes five parts out of the six of that house, which is that he loses the 20 extra barrels because he's only supposed to get a place that fits 100 barrels. Whereas Rav Ashi, I mean, he disagrees. And it's based on the halacha of our Mishnah. He says, Miloy, it's not dinner we learned in our Mishnah that said, Bamed v'mem, when did we say that all these limitations, that it's only what he specified, that that's included, and when it's unspecified, it's only what we assume, and not more than that. That said, the Mishnah, that's b'meicher, that's by someone who's selling. Av b'nais l'matana, when someone's giving a gift, nice and as kulon, so then he's giving everything, even what's not naturally or normally included in the unspecified, by a gift, it's an extra level of generosity. So says Rav Ashi, Alma, we see, man, the matana, someone that gives a gift, ba'ayin yafa yav, he gives it with a very generous eye, hachanami hirosa, man, the matana, ba'ayin yafa yav, the one who's giving the gift is giving it in a generous way. And therefore he wants to include the whole entire house. Now, although he said, I want to give him a house that contains 100 barrels, it's only because he thought it didn't contain more. To the contrary, when he was saying 100, it was not to limit it as a maximum. He was just saying that, look, what a good gift I'm giving to him. I want to give him something that holds 100. But not that if it's 120, he doesn't want to give him a whole 120. He wants to give him the whole house, and therefore he gets all 120, not just space for 100. Now, the Mishnah continued and said, HaMakdish es HaSadeh. Said that another one of these cases that is going to be the whole thing, in contrast to the case of a sale, is by Hekdesh. Where Hekdesh, Bechulu, where then he's Makdesh everything. Then the Mishnah brought that Reb Shimon disagrees, and he says, no, actually, Hekdesh is just like a sale. The only exception is the Charev Hamurkev and the Sadna Shekema. Now, so related, what will relate back to this halacha of this Mishnah, the Gemara brings the following halacha from Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, Avagav Da'am Rabbanon, even though the Rabbanon say, which this is brought later on, the Pei Aleph Meraf in the Mishnah, in the Meiches HaSvinam, if someone purchases two trees in his friend's field. Now, this is important that it's talking about two trees, because if someone actually purchases three trees in someone else's field, that automatically is considered a state ilon. Three trees are already considered like a field of trees, and he acquires the land that's between the trees and that's beneath them and the area around it to be able to gather the fruit. And if the trees die, he still has ownership of the land to then go ahead and plant new trees in its place, as the Mishnah teaches us later on the Meiches HaSfina. So specifically, Rav Huna is referring to the halacha that the Rabbanan said regarding when someone bought only two trees in someone else's field. So says Rav Huna, even though the Rabbanan say in such a case, HaRezo Loi Kona Karka, in that case, when they only bought two trees, he has not acquired the land that's between the trees and around the trees, and even if the trees die, he does not have the ownership of the land to then go ahead and plant other trees in their place. As the Mishnah teaches us later on in the other paragraph of Pei Aleph and Aleph, that he has not acquired the trees more than just to get the fruits, as long as the tree is still alive. Now, specifically, and that's what Rav Huna is pointing out, that this is going according to the opinion of the Rabbanan, that they say when there's a sale, the seller only sells ba'ayin ra. Now, therefore, when he sells in the trees, if it's only two trees, he's not getting any land. But according to Rabbi Kiva, the buyer would have land even if he only bought one or two trees to plant others in their place if these trees die, as is obvious from the Gemara later on, the next daf on Ayin Beis, which we find a similar halacha regarding if someone's makdish three trees, one consecutive after the other, where we say that in that situation he has not been makdish de karka. And that the Gemara says over there that if it's Rabbi Kiva, but he says meicher b'ayin yafa meicher, and for sure makdish that it's b'ayin yafa. So obviously we see that according to Rabbi Kiva, when someone sells two trees to his friend, which that's really the equivalent of that case on the Gemara and the next daf regarding when someone's makdish three trees one after another, that he acquires the tree with the land itself. And actually that's how the Gemara actually says explicitly in Perek Cheskel Batim, Teflar and Zayim and Beis, that if someone sells trees and he holds onto the land for himself, that the Gemara says that's the machlekes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbanim. Now, another point Rashbam points out is although the end of that halacha of the selling of the trees, that when a person sells three trees, the Gemara on the next parak says that actually that halacha of getting that of that land would even be like Rabbi Kiva. But the ratio which says that when you sell two trees, he doesn't get the land, is not like Rabbi Kiva. Because again, Rabbi Kiva holds that you get the land, even if a guy bought only one tree, because he holds meicher ba'ayin yafa meicher, and he's selling him not only the tree, but even the land beneath it. But going back again to the pin of the Rabbanan, that they say that when someone buys two trees, he does not get the land. But, says Rav Huna, if macher karka b'shayir shnei ilonis lefanav, but let's say the other way around. Let's say someone sold his land, and he's holding on to two trees for himself. So although if, let's say, a guy would be buying two trees, he wouldn't get the land. But if a guy is holding on to the two trees as a seller, where he sold everything but these two trees, then says Rav Huna that yesh le karka. Then the owner who hold on to these two trees does have the land to then plant others in their place, because this is really the Rabbanan's opinion, where when they're selling begrudgingly. So they're holding on to as much as they can, which is not just the trees, but even the land beneath them. Now, continues the Gemara. The Gemara says that actually, this halacha of Rav Huna is vafilal Rebbe Kiva. Rav Huna's halacha pertains even to Rebbe Kiva, because if Rav Huna's halacha was only in Rabbanan, well, that's pretty an obvious halacha, as the Gemara is going to ask, because of course, it's meicher b'ayin ra, and if he holds on to as much as he can, which is not just the trees, but even the land beneath them. So says the Gemara, must be Rav Huna's halacha was being said even according to Rebbe Kiva. The Amar meicher b'ayin yafa meicher, even though Rebbe Kiva usually says that when someone sells, he sells in a generous way, he gives everything to the one that he's selling to, he only holds on to what he literally specified. So you would think that according to Rebbe Kiva, so if he's only holding on to the trees, he would only have the trees and not the land beneath them. And that says the Gemara, no, Rav Huna's halacha would be even according to Rebbe Kiva, that even Rebbe Kiva would agree that he's holding on to the land beneath them too. Why is that? Because Hanemili, when did we say that if someone sells, he's selling everything and he does it in a generous way? That's, let's say, in the case of when someone sells a house. Or like in our Mishnah, when he sells a field and he holds on to Gabi Borvidus, regarding the pit or the cistern, which that we say that he's holding on to for himself. There, those are types of things which they don't damage the property of the lekeach, of the guy that he's selling the house to or the field to. They're just there, and it's not ruining the property. The loy kamach shibara, where it doesn't weaken the land. Now, so therefore, in that type of situation, the seller was not concerned to hold on to any of the land around the pit, or neither a road to get to the pit, because he sells it totally generous, and he'll buy a path from the buyer. He sells it totally generous. And there's no reason for us to assume that he would hold on to more than what he's saying. Aval, but says the Gemara, Ilon is the komach sheba'ara, but regarding trees that weaken the ground, it ruins the ground, the roots, it branches out, it ruins the land. So then as the Bach adds on the words, then shiyure shire, in that situation, he actually is holding on to other things that were not specified, which not only is he holding on to the trees, but even the land with the trees, to be able to go ahead and then replant in its place if these original trees get old and die, so that the buyer should not tell him after his trees die, rip out your trees, that they're dead, and get out of here. Now, why over there would he think like that? And therefore, we're saying that although he usually sells generously and everything, in this situation he's not going to, he's going to hold on to the land, is because he thinks, wait a second, my pit and cistern, yeah, it's not going to bother him, and therefore I don't have to hold on to anything more than what I just said, and I'm generously selling everything else. But by a tree, he's not going to like that I held on to the tree, because it ruins his land around it. So therefore, says the Gemara, even Rebbe Kiva would agree that the seller then thinks ahead and says, whoa, I can't give him everything, because then I'm not even going to be able to hold on to my tree area, because once it starts getting old and it's dead, he's going to say, so get rid of it and get out of here. So therefore, in that situation, we say that he did hold on to not only the tree, but the land beneath it too. Why is that? Because as the Gemara continues on Amud Beis and says, because im iso deloy shayir, if you would say that, as we would normally say in Rebbe Kiva, that the seller did not hold on to anything, he sold it in a generous way, everything to the buyer, but then the problem would be leimalei, then the buyer would be able to tell the seller, akor ilonach, rip out your tree, shakal bazal, take it and leave. Now, we assume that the intention of the seller, when he held on to the trees for himself, was that he should be allowed to and have that ability forever, even to go ahead and replant others in its place, the way he had these trees up until now, up until he sold the field. Everything was his up until now, which he was going to have the trees forever. So therefore, we assume he wants it forever. The only way he's going to be able to have it forever is not just holding on to the trees, but the land beneath it too. Now, this is in contrast, however, in the case of when someone buys trees, there we don't say necessarily that he's buying it for the intention to have it forever and to plant others in its place, because that's normal for a person to buy something just for its day and to acquire it for its payers. So, yes, by a lekeach, we could say that it's not going to be forever. But that's what Rav Huna, the Gemara is saying in Rav Huna's halacha, that Rav Akiva would agree that when someone is selling the trees, he's holding on to it forever, and then we have to assume that even according to Rav Akiva, he's holding on to not just the trees, but the land beneath it too. That's the Gemara's explanation in Rav Huna's halacha. That assumption, the Gemara asks. Tanan, we learned that Mishnah, which seems to refute this Gemara's assumption that Rav Huna's halacha would be even according to Rav Akiva. Where again, usually we say in Rabbi Kiva that Meicher ba'ayin yafa Meicher, and the guy does not hold on to anything more than what he said. And therefore, according to Rabbi Kiva, you would think that the two trees, he only gets the trees, not the land, which the Gemara said, oh, he even gets the land? And that the Gemara asks. Because in our Mishnah, we learned Rabbi Shimon Aymer, that's what we quoted before, that he says, he disagrees with the Tanakhama, and he says, Amakdash es asad, if someone sanctifies his field, so then, loy hikdish, Rabbi Shimon says, he has not sanctified all those things in the Mishnah that we usually say are not included in the sale. He holds, same thing by hikdish, they're not included in the sale in the sanctification of his field. Ella, only the one exception is, that is going to be included, even though by sale it's not. Ischarv hamurkiv is the grafted carob tree, besad nashikama, and the older sycamore tree. Now, but obviously, says the Rashbam, that's only regarding these trees, but obviously all other trees are automatically included in the hekdesh because they're always included in the field, because even by a sale, they're included in the field. But again, the one exception is it's usually not included in the sale are the charva moka, mesad nashikma. Regarding hekdesh, it's going to be included. Continues the Gemara. V'tani Allah. Now we learned in the Braisa that elaborates on this halacha, the Mishnah, that quotes as follows. Amar Reb Shimon. Shimon says, Matam, what is the reason that he's saying in his halacha that the charav and the sadan are going to be sanctified more than all the other things that we said that really makdish is the same as a meicher, which you're not being makdish things that are not pertaining to the intrinsic element of the field, which is like a sale. We only sell those things that are assumed automatically included in the sale of the field. So why is it that a charav amurkiv is going to be hukdish? Why is it any different? That also should not be sanctified like all the other things that are not included in the sale. So on that side, Reb Shimon, the reason is, I'll tell you, is because Hoyel v'yonkin mistei hektish, because this charav amurkiv and the sadan hashikma are nourishing from the hektish field. In other words, when he sanctifies his field, he's sanctifying it in a generous way. Which means to say that when he's sanctifying the field, it's the entirety of the field, even the space of where the charav and the sadan is. So when he holds on to something for himself, which we said like regards to a sale, what's included in what he's holding on to for himself is the charav and the sadan. He's only holding on to the tree, but not the land beneath it. So it's going to come out, says Reb Shimon, that the trees that he's holding on to for himself are growing and nourishing from hektish land. Now the problem is that geduli hektish, things that grow from hektish, are considered like hektish itself. So therefore the trees, although he's really holding on to himself, but it's growing from hektish, so therefore it's going to be included in the hektish. Now, but one thing we see is that when someone holds on to the trees for himself, he's not also holding on to the land. Rather, he's giving the land generously, meaning as we would say by a sale. And so to regarding someone who's makdish, it's going to be the entirety of the land. Because as we see, Reb Shimon equates a sale to hektish. Now that says the Gemara of Yisrael G'day Dechna, if you would entertain to say that when someone sells land to someone else, and he holds on to the trees for himself, shiyuri shayir, that you're saying so too, he also holds on to the land where the trees nourish from. So then, if that's the case by a sale, the same thing would apply regarding makdish, according to Reb Shimon, because again, he equates the case of hektish, the case of a sale. If so, how do we understand what Reb Shimon is saying in the Braisa? Why is the charav and the sadan hektish? Because he's saying it's nourishing from a field of hektish, but it's not true. Because kika yanki, when these charav and the sadan, when they nourish, when they take the nutrients from the ground, they're nourishing from the land of the charav itself, from his own field, from what he left over himself, and not the land of hektish. Because you're saying that, as you're explaining for Rabbi Kiva, that everyone agrees that you will hold on to the land itself. So why is it a problem? Why do the charav and the sadan have to be considered hektish? So that answers the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon the Amar Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Shimon, who says this halacha, he holds like his Rebbe, Rebbe Akiva, that says when someone sells something, he sells in a generous way, and he's selling everything. and you're right, and he does not hold on to the land for himself at all, whether it's regards to the need to require a right of way to get to the pit or the cistern that he held on to him for himself, or whether it's regarding the nourishing of the tree that he held on to for himself, that land he does not hold on to for himself. And therefore, the consumer could tell the seller today or tomorrow, whenever it is that the tree dries up, he could tell him, get out of here, because you only have the rights to the tree. Now your tree is dead. You cannot go ahead and replant a new one. And the same halacha would apply to Hekdesh. However, regarding a sale, regards to what's included in the field, things that are not included normally in the sale of the field, there you cannot say Ayin Yafo or Ayin Ra, because whatever he didn't specify is not sold. Now, as Rashbam points out, the Gemara at this point retracts from what it said originally, that Rav Huna's halacha applies even to Korin Tribbe Kiva, and the Gemara is reversing from that and saying, you're right. You see from Shimon, not like that, meaning Rav Shimon's like his Rebbe Kiva, which is that when someone sells something or when he's makdish something, that then he's selling everything, being makdish everything, whatever is included in the words that he used, not what's not included. So yes, he'll have the rights of the Charav and the Sadin, because that's not included, but not the land, because the land, those words he said, he's giving the land. And that's including every land, even what's beneath the tree, and therefore the tree is nourishing from the land of Hekdesh, and therefore, you're right. When he holds on to two trees for himself, the Gemara is saying, according to Rabbi Kiva, he would not get the land, and therefore it's nourishing from it, and therefore it has to be Hekdesh. But Rav Huna says, the Gemara, who says that when someone holds on to two trees for himself, he's also going to get the land beneath it, that's the Amak Rabbanan. He was saying like Rabbanan, that when someone sells something, he sells begrudgingly, stingingly, and therefore he's holding on to himself from what he sold, everything that he needs for what he's holding on to, which are the nourishing of the trees. Which is similar to the Rabbanan's opinion when regarding the path of the pit and the cistern that we learned in our Mishnah, that he also holds on to not just the pit and the cistern, but even the path to get to it. Now Rashbam, however, does point out, but that the conclusion of the Gemara actually comes out that Rav Huna's halacha is even according to Rabbi Kiva. And actually that's how the Gemara says in Cheskes Abatin of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, that it's obvious, says the Gemara over there, that if someone sells his land and he holds on to two trees for himself, that he gets the land, and the Gemara there says it even according to Rabbi Kiva. Now Rashbam over has a question. Why did the Gemara answer that saying, no, Rav Huna's halacha cannot be, you're right, according to Rabbi Shimon, which is like Rabbi Kiva? Why didn't the Gemara say that actually Reb Shimon holds that when someone is makdish, that's different than mechira, because he's more generous when he's being makdish, something spirituality, to Hashem. It's more than a sale, because maybe actually Reb Shimon would agree to Reb Huna's halacha that when someone sells and he holds on to two trees for himself, that so too he does hold on to the land like Reb Huna said. But it's just regarding makdish that he's more generous. There we say he's only holding on to what he said, which is the charav itself, without the land, and therefore that's why it's considered part of hekdesh, because it's nourishing from the ground. Why do we have to refute Rav Huna's halacha that to be like Rav Shimon? That says Rashbam, you can't say that, because if you would say that, then the case of hekdesh would not be totally like the case of selling, and neither would it be totally like the case of gifting. Rather, it would be in some regards similar to the case of a selling, where you would be saying that he's only makdish things which are included in the primary field itself. And you would say that it's similar to the case of gifting, where he has not left over from himself anything from what he explicitly said that he's being makdish, because all the land he's being makdish, you're saying, and he's not holding on to any space of it, even the place of the nourishing of the charav. And that says Rashbam, that's not logical to say, because either compare the case of hekdesh to someone who's giving a gift, totally, which would be like the Rabban who said that, you're right, he's makdish everything, even the trees, or to the case of the one who's selling, to totally compare it like that, where just like someone who sells a field, he has not sold the bur and the gas and the shevich, same thing should apply to the makdish. And just like when someone who sells, he sells in a generous way, he sells whatever he specified in the sale, and he has not held on to anything from the land, even for the nourishing of the ground, then the same thing should apply to the case of the makdish. And therefore, says the Gemara, that's why the Gemara had to say that it's actually like the case of a meicher, and not to say Rav Shimon could be like Rav Huna, it's just that makdish is more, because either one or the other, either it's like meicher, or it's like the case of matana, and the Gemara says that, you're right, it's like the case of meicher, but that's why Rav Shimon is like Rav Kiva, and that's why it's not like Rav Huna. Now, on that the Gemara asks, so you're saying that the halacha Rav Huna is not like Rav Kiva, it's only like Rabban. So the Gemara asks, Rabbanan? Rav Huna to say it's halacha according to Rabbanan? Well, pshit, it's obvious. Since Rabban hold meicher b'ayin ra meicher, the guy sells begrudgingly. He only sells what he would have to. But what he doesn't is not included. So he's holding out the trees. Of course he would want to hold on to the land beneath it. And of course they would say that he would have the land. Because actually, moreover, in this case, it's actually more obvious. Because the consumer could tell him, if he wouldn't hold on to the land, get your old tree and get out of here. Because it's weakening the land. So it's a kavo chaymer. If regarding bar and dus, which doesn't weaken the land, still the rabbanan say that he holds on to, have he has a right of way and a path to get his bar and dus, so for sure by a tree, where for sure he holds on to lands around the tree, because there he's afraid of getting kicked out. So for sure, if you hold moicha by and ra, and they have this element that he should be afraid of course we should say he gets the land. What's the chiddush? That says the Gemara, no, nafkimina, the difference is what we're gaining by Rapunis Halacha that comes to tell us, according to Rabbanan, that when he sells the land and he only holds on to two trees that he gets the land, it does teach us a chiddush. It teaches us that the nafli, if the trees collapse, if they fall and die, then hadir shasiluhu, that he can then go ahead and replant it. Meaning, because if not for Rapunis Halacha, we would have thought to say that, yes, when he holds on to trees for himself, he has the land only as long as the trees are extant, that they're still around. But when they get old and die, that he would not have the land, which actually is similar to the case of the bar and the dus, the cistern and the pit, where if the pit collapses and he can't fix it, then he doesn't have the land around it. The whole path all right away was only to get to the pit. If you don't have the pit, you don't have the land around it itself. So we had to tell you that even when the tree dies, and therefore you don't have the primary thing, that maybe you don't have the land, that's what's saying, that no, that he does have the land, and when he's selling it, he's selling with the intention that he wants the land so that he can go ahead and replant his trees. Now, Rashbam says that originally the Gemara knew that Rav Huna was coming to tell us that if it falls, it's to be able to replant it. But it's just that the Gemara did not entertain that there would be any chiddush in that words of Rav Huna, only regards to that to say that it's even applying, even according to Rabbi Akiva. But once the Gemara then says that, you're right, it cannot be even according to Rabbi Akiva, so then the Gemara asks, well, then that's obvious halacha. And then the Gemara says, no, it's not so obvious because of this halacha, of this element, to say that, no, there's an element of chiddush over here, in contrast to bar and dus, where if you don't have the bar, you don't have the road, the land around it. Here, even if you don't have the tree, you do have, because again, that's what he's entertaining and he's afraid of, that he's going to get kicked out. So when he's selling extra stingily, and that he's saying that even if the tree dies, I want the land around it so I can be able to replant my trees forever and to be able to hold on to it the way I always had it.